Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Warp World Podcast.
Episode 39, recorded live from Calithon.
Not SGDQ.
Not SGDQ, no. This week we're going to be talking about our experience at Calithon, the runs we did, and the runs that are coming up.
So stay tuned and hopefully you guys enjoy.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 39 of the Warp World Podcast, the winner's edition, where only winners are allowed to be on it. Joining me today and every week is friend and other winner, Jaku.
Hey, how's it going? And this is also, we should mention, this is the real episode 39.
Yes. You may have gotten a sneak peek if you were tuning into Calithon on Thursday evening, but it was a fib.
It was a fib.
We were fibbing. We had to leave Pooh Bear out for this episode because
he was on the losing team, you know?
Yeah, Team California just couldn't hold their chops against Team World in the Mario Maker relay race here in sunny San Francisco.
It's really funny. Every time he does these Mario Maker races and I'm not on his team, he loses.
How many? What's six he's done now?
Yeah, he's done many, many races now.
Yeah. Almost in the double digits. You know, for someone who calls himself the people's champ, he doesn't seem to get too many dubs.
Yeah, I don't know how you could be a champ if you can't win. we're throwing too much shade at him, though.
Yeah, he actually just had to head out a little early, and we didn't have time to get him in here with us. So you're going to be listening to the soothing sound of Jaku and I filling you in on the happenings here at Californiathon in this special episode.
Yeah, we're only going to keep this episode to Calithon. Information. We're not going to go based on any news outside the world right now. We'll leave that for next week when we get Grand Pooh Bear back. But we're just going to give you kind of what's happening so far and what has happened and what we're looking forward to because it's only Friday night for us.
Yeah, there's still two more days of the marathon.
Yeah. I haven't even, I ran Mario Maker, but I haven't ran Yonoid yet. So
yeah,
anything could happen.
Yeah. And so we're the worst co-hosts ever. Both myself and Pooh Bear aren't going to be there for it.
My first ever solo run of a game at a marathon, no big deal.
You know what? You're going to rock it though. The Noid is going to be so fast. Everyone's going to get to see the true story behind the Noid. Because funny enough, they accepted Noid 2 for GDQ, but not yours.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with them. I don't know what's wrong. I actually talked to a GDQ person. I'm not going to name names or anything. But, I said, hey, how do you accept Noid 2 but not Noid 1? And he's like, you know what? We're just doing the prequel, or we're doing the sequel before the prequel, essentially. So it's a shoe-in eventually. He said, just keep submitting it.
They're going Star Wars strats with it then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I feel like Awful Block is probably your best chance of getting Noid in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was really hoping that we would get Noid in along with John Carl's Chester Cheetah.
Oh, yeah.
And then
Glitch Cat's Cool Spot.
Yeah.
Get all the famous snacks in.
Yeah, we had a junk food hour and it would have been amazing because we could have all sat on each other's couch for the runs and ate pizza and Cheetos and
bring the props in. Yeah. Oh, man. And you'd have to get the classic cans of 7-Up with the old logo and that'd be beautiful.
Yeah, the real drink, the original. But you know what? It's all right. They made a mistake and that's okay. We're still going to go.
People make mistakes. It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how about we dive into a little bit of the meat of what I think people are going to be most excited in hearing about. And that's the Mario Maker relay race that went down.
Yeah. A fantastic race with lots of awesome levels by lots of creators.
Yeah. There's been a lot of these relay races that went down as of the last cut, these 2.5 years that Mario Maker has been out. But I think this one was definitely stood out in a really special way. And I think a lot of that resides around the final level we got to play.
Yeah, that level is different from any other relay that I've ever been part of. And I think we should probably leave a little bit for now. Let's talk a little bit about the beginning of the race.
We're just teasing you a little bit, but yeah. Now we're gonna go into the nitty gritty. So the race format is essentially, we had how many, 9 levels?
Yeah, there was 9 levels.
And
8 qualifiers, essentially, mm-hmm. And one final race.
So for every one of the 8 levels that a team won, they got 15 seconds of head start for the final level, which is the only level that actually mattered towards who wins or loses. For the two teams were composed of Team California, which was Grand Pooh Bear, Failstream, and Ryukar?
Yes.
And then also had Mr. Shasta on as the guest feature.
Yeah.
And then our team, Team World, the rest of the world, was myself, Jakku, and the Beast.
With Pluto, my ginger planet buddy.
Fellow ginger planet. And honestly, we were killing it real hard to start off. We got the first two levels off back to back. 30-second lead earned right away. It's feeling really good starting off there.
Yeah. We lost it a little bit, but you know, we prevailed. We ended up getting that 30 seconds at the end of the level.
Yeah. Which is big.
We both, I gotta say, like the Beast is definitely, the name lives up to it.
Oh my God.
Like, his name is perfect for him.
I feel like he's getting tired of hearing how good he is at Mario Maker at this point, because we're all just like, oh, the Beast is gonna beat it. The Beast got it.
Yeah.
But he got like at least, I think, like 5 of the clears.
Right, yeah. He's very modest too.
Yeah.
Like out of everyone, he's probably the most modest and very like, he's not very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like he's not cocky. He's not cocky, but he speaks softly. He doesn't talk unless he really needs to. Mm-hmm. And it's his personality that's really great for that. But yeah, I was able to get the first win, which was super exciting for me.
Oh yeah. I was really worried I wasn't going to get a clear. And like, I got a couple checkpoints and then I was like, oh, you're shaky up there and you're in a different environment, which is really big too. Because we all play on our setups at home. Some people have monitors with 5 milliseconds delay. Some people play on TVs. Some people play on the gamepad, whatever, what have you. We were playing on couches on 24-inch monitors that were about like, I'm going to say like 7 or 8 feet away from us.
Yeah, they were far away. We were crowded on that couch too.
Yeah, it was very jam-packed.
Yeah, there was two couches and me and Pooh were actually half a cheek on both on one and floating on the other. And like my leg was killing me out then. But the amazing thing was like, we were able to get the first two clears easily. That was great. Me and Pooh, right before the start, Pooh said, I just want to be able to outlast Jakku on the first level. That's my goal. And I got to say, mission not accomplished, Pooh. there's always a little bit of rivalry. It's always fun, though.
It was fun. I think because it was Calithon and because of everything that was going down, we really took the role of playing the villains. And I really had a fun time with that.
Yeah, you did. I mean, we called out Ryukar. We called him a car.
Vroom, vroom, Ryu.
We were like, how do we get inside his head?
It was the worst insult. And like, you could tell it did kind of shake him. Just a little bit. He's like, he was sitting there kind of thinking like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And then like, he loses just that little bit of focus.
Yep, that's all we needed. Yeah. We don't need to take too much focus, just a little. Because the levels will do the rest for us.
Yeah, but I think one of the highlights, so we had levels from a lot of really cool creators. We had a level from Tub11, which actually was really funny. His level was cleared for upload in 2016, which meant it had really old Mario Maker physics. So it had old P-Switch. It was like an old patch. So it played a little differently than the others.
It threw you through a loop. I think I died on the first P-Switch because I was really expecting it to do that.
It lasted like, you could stand on it longer and that's like kind of tripped you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had Tub11, who actually was responsible for kind of like gathering all the levels and like reaching out to the creators and all that stuff. So major shout outs to Tub11 for all that.
Yeah. The amount of effort that goes into orchestrating a run like this, you don't see half of it when you're at an event. You see the runners and even that's not even half of it because there's so many other people in the back that's doing stuff. There's level creators, there's the guy wrangling it all together.
Yeah, and then there's the testers.
Yeah. Shout outs to just everyone that helps out with these relay races. There's a lot of work that goes into them. And, you know, we try to give credit to as many people as we can, but typically we only have an hour or so on stage and like there's only so much you can say.
Yeah.
And it's hard, but, you know, shout outs to everyone that helped out because it's always a blast.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's a lot of work. So one thing that I really liked about this one was we tried to play a little trick and I think the organizers worked against us a little bit. So Jakku had the idea. Go ahead and...
Yeah. So, you know, every now and then you want to troll the other team in some way. And so we actually ended up using the Beast's Wii U for our levels. Mm-hmm. And so I had the idea of having the organizer or one of the announcers actually modify one of the levels for us and put a dev door in Yosef's level. I got permission from Yosef first. I'm like, hey, Yosef, we want to add a door at the beginning that takes us to the end just so we can be like, oh, we cleared it, just to get the reaction from the other team.
Yeah, our intent was fully to like waste our time with this fake clear and then actually play the level.
Yeah.
But we really wanted to like really upset the crowd and, you know, be the villains.
Yeah. And so I asked them, I'm like, put a door behind Mario's starting point and have it go to the end and let us clear the level. We're actually play it for real, but it will just get in their head that we beat that level so fast. And what they ended up doing was put the door in front of Mario and had it fall into the lava and kill us.
Yeah. And Pluto started the level and we're like, Pluto, don't take the door. Let Jakku take the door when it's his turn. Like, let's let the door be a suspicion because people are going to see there's no door in the other Wii U. And then Pluto just wasn't thinking. He's like, door, it goes in. And then it didn't lead us to the end. Oh, it did lead us to the end, right under the fire bridge and into the lava. So Yusuf and Hawkeye definitely turned that one around on us a little bit, which was pretty funny, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and you could hear behind us, people like, why is there a door on theirs?
Everyone was like
theirs?
Questioning it. I'm kind of curious as to if like chat was talking about it at all.
Yeah, I don't know. Cool. I bet they were. They have to have been like, why was there a door there but not there? And we were at a disadvantage, but we ended up beating that level.
Yeah.
I think that was you.
I think that was the one that I got. Yeah. Yeah, because it was the one with the stairs at the end. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but I've conquered like 6 of Yusuf's dumb stair levels. Yusuf, if you're listening, man, your stairs are dumb.
I mean, his stairs are dumb, but you know what? They're fun levels.
They are. They are good levels. The stairs are frustrating when you spend 2 hours on that one part, but they are good levels.
Well, see, I still always do about the 20-minute limit on my levels, even Yosef levels. But what I do is I let them resubmit the next time.
Yeah. You're a lot better at that. When I play, sometimes it just gets in my head and I'm like, no, I'm not moving on until I beat it. And then my stream goes to shit.
I'm very, as crazy as I am and as like sporadic as I seem, I'm pretty detail oriented in certain things.
Yeah.
And I stick to a schedule when
you
I
got
can.
A plan and you don't want to veer from it. I get it. And I know that chat appreciates that. And I have to like get that in my head when I'm playing, be like, no, you know what? I've been on this level. I just got to accept that I didn't beat it and they can put it back in.
Yeah. You can always go back to a level, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was one of the funnier midway levels. We had a lot of really cool ones. We had like an SMB1 Kaizo that had like sweet spring jumps, a lot of like cool telegraphed jumps. We had two new soups levels. We started off with a new soup level.
And we said it during Super Warp World run, but new soups, when it's in the hands of a talented designer, it's fun.
So good. Yeah.
The problem is that the majority of levels that are new soup are not in the hands of talented people. So fun fact, I did some stat analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Over half the levels on Super Mario Maker are new Super Mario Brothers U.
Wow, really?
Over 4 million levels out of the 8 million that I have stats on.
Wow, these kids today don't appreciate their old Mario games.
Yeah, funny enough, the second most played or created is Mario 1.
Huh, that sounds right to me.
Yeah, so
Mario 3 probably being the least.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons is because you don't unlock, the game kind of comes with Mario 1 and Super Mario mm-hmm. U unlocked. But at the same time, all these people are very used to Super Mario Brothers U that are younger. And they're like, this is the game I remember.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't want to go to these stupid graphics.
Yeah. Oh, this doesn't have Koopas that dance when the music goes, whom.
Yeah. Fair enough, you know, like, sure.
Yeah.
That was a really cool touch that I remember like being excited for.
I like that. They don't do that in Maker, but I like that in New Soups.
But when you get these levels that are designed by someone that knows what they're doing, they're really fun and it really does show, and it showcases the techniques and things that are in these other Mario games.
And what was really good was they showcased techniques, but not to their maximum extent. Like the first level had a section where you had to do an air stall, and air stalls, they're not super hard, but like getting them perfect and like really optimizing on it, like getting 6 air stalls out of like a little drop is pretty tough. You can get like 2 or 3 pretty easy, but they were really, really reasonable about throwing in these hard tricks, but not throwing in the hardest version of the hard tricks.
Yeah. I was actually, I'm not a big fan of the Aristotle myself personally. Yeah. Like, I don't do it enough to really do it. So I was a little worried, but, you know, one of our, luckily, I didn't have to worry about it because we got the checkpoint.
Yeah, we got through that. I think I grabbed that checkpoint. I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah. And so, you know, we were able to complete the level still, which was great. But, like, it's small little tricks like that where it's like, I think I can do it, but it still worries me because I'm not as fluent in it as, say, the Beast.
Yeah. Yeah. There was definitely levels I felt a lot more comfortable on. The last level I felt pretty comfortable on because it used boots a lot. And I feel really comfortable with boots because I play a lot of levels by this guy Salt Lake who really likes to use his boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last level was fun. You know, we had different strats for one section. I'm a big fan of the under strats.
Yeah, you were an underman. You're a bottom and I'm a top.
Apparently.
Like, yeah. but no, we should. So the leading eight levels were all really great, and they all start with bracket, Cali, closed bracket or square bracket in it. So if you go to makersofmario.com and search that, you'll find them all. I'm sure we can get all the codes and post them somewhere too, which we'll probably do and include in show notes, I guess.
Yeah, we'll probably get them in the show notes. At least link to a world created on Makers of Mario.
I'm sure you're going to be seeing a couple of streamers in the next week or so. Playing the Calithon levels. I'm going to definitely replay them when I get home. So
yeah, it will be nice to kind of be back at home, relax in my own environment without much pressure and give them a shot again and actually be able to look at them.
Yeah.
Because when you're here, you're not really looking at the level. You're looking at what route do I need to take and what do I need to do? You don't really see the level.
Yeah, you're just really trying to soak in. When you don't have the controller in your hand, you're just trying to soak in as much of that knowledge.
Yeah.
As he can.
Speaking of knowledge, though, I don't know if you guys could see it on the video, but on the very last level, we have the Beast on the platform.
Okay, but before we got to save that for the last little bit.
Oh, okay.
So we got to talk about this last level. Made by a composer, known in the community for a lot of amazing stuff. He did a lot of the music work on Barb's Grand Poo World.
Yep.
And he's just one of the most talented musical level creators in the Mario Maker community, where he'll mesh like a really well done music segment with really well done platforming. And that's what he did for this event. So the first section of the level was a rendition of California Love in Mario Maker, which was so good.
Yeah.
The Beast was sitting there on the couch singing along. I'm like, man, I didn't know you liked this, James. Like, this is my favorite.
Yeah. The Beast actually liked it. It's sad we didn't get to hear it as well because all we could do is hear it over the gamepad.
Yeah, we had to put it on the Wii U speakers.
Yeah.
The gamepad speakers.
But you could definitely tell what it was. And it still amazes me the amount of effort and the amount of stuff you can do in this game. That's 2.5 years old.
Yeah. It's nuts, dude. And yeah, so The level with the music component was really cool, but it was hard.
It really was.
It was so hard. It ended up taking, I think, 40 minutes for that level.
Yeah, we had a 10-minute limit for levels, but due to the nature of Mario Maker and the excitement that everyone has for it, you know, Calithon was like, yeah, let's keep going. We're not gonna be like, oh, you guys are over time.
Yeah.
And it was great. There was talks of it at the very end. Mm-hmm. We were about to be like, all right, one more final round for everyone sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But there was, I think, so the level was really fun and really difficult, but I think everyone who played it kind of was feeling the same vibe of this is janky.
Yeah. It was an auto scrolling level because you have to do that for music to play. Right. But the problem is with some of the timing, the boots were off. If you did one thing wrong,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people don't like levels like that just in general, because you're being forced to play in a very specific way. And for a race level where you have 20 seconds with the controller, it takes you so much time to get back into the groove of things and figure it out. It's really hard for a race.
Yeah. When you get one shot every four attempts, it even makes it feel like there's more pressure. And so it's just like it's harder and harder and you're doing your best. But yeah, I don't know. The second half of the level, so the first half was California Love, Tupac, and Dr. Dre. The second half was Return of the Mac, which got Pooh super excited.
Yeah.
That's one of his favorite songs. And we were all jamming out really hard to it, but it was so difficult. There was just one jump where you had to jump out of a floating boot, jump off of dry bones, land in another boot that bounced off of a note block underneath a saw. And that was where the trouble came, because that boot kind of didn't sync up perfectly with your floaty boot jump. So sometimes you would hit the saw before the boot, or the boot wouldn't come out by the time you were there. Or sometimes you just fly right past the boot and you couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, I think the first time both teams kind of realized what was going on, they both hit the saw at the same time, and the boot was like same pixel line. It was amazing to see. But like, it's like, oh, I was in that boot.
Yeah, it was so, there were so many, like, that was some of the most heated I'd been in like a gaming setting. Like, I was flailing my arms like, what's going on? This is crazy. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah, and like, that's not even the most of it that got me like upset.
Oh yeah, no. So the ending troll, go ahead and...
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So it's a race level. Let's set that stage again.
Yeah.
It's a race level. You got two teams. They're screen peeking, number one, which definitely is not, like, for something like this to be in a race level, not really cool, I'll say.
We were screen peeking too, for sure, though.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm not even saying we weren't screen peeking, but...
Oh, but okay, no, I see where you're coming from. Yeah. Because of the fact that there is screen peeking, this trick wasn't cool to include. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a disadvantage. So
yes.
The thing is, when we got to the end of the level, Beast instantly goes and he breaks these two blocks with his tail.
Yeah.
And
wait, no, it was actually me who got in the first time.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So X-Water's like, oh, we got it. We're going to go into this pipe. He breaks these blocks, can't go in the pipe.
Pipe.
Oh, okay, I'm going to jump up and hit these other blocks. This block comes down and kills him.
Yeah.
That was on a track. So it was a timed block to kill you. It was a troll.
And so at this point, we essentially feel, yeah, we beat the level. And then the other team sees what happened to us and goes, all right, now we know how to avoid the troll so we can beat the level, which felt so cheap.
Yeah. Luckily, this creator, they did add a second block. So
a second block that fell, yeah. But we didn't see it on our screen with the death. So the other team also got trolled in the exact same way, which... Once that happened, it was like everything rectified. That was hilarious. Well done.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot better that way.
Yeah.
It could have, but you know, like that I feel like that could have been enough information. Like if I was on the other team at that point, I probably would have waited even longer the first time. And so that's where the issue kind of came in, is like that screen peeking, they were able to learn that and they wouldn't have gotten trolled by that if there wasn't a second block.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah,
we would have been at a disadvantage. But there was another troll.
Exactly. And this is where my issue stems from. So with the two included, there's the possible scenario that the second team would have been extra cautious and after the first block would have waited an extra bit of time and avoided the second. Luckily enough, they did die to it. So it ended up being like, you know, both teams lost one completed attempt. So then I believe it was the Beast who ended up getting back into the final section. And he goes to clear this gap jump. The final section had like three trolls in it where you land on a donut, the donut falls, and you go to the ground. And it looks like you're about to fall into a pit, but there was a rising and lowering platform.
Yep.
So it was off screen at the time. But once you fall down, it's like coming back up and it saves you. And it's like, oh, okay, there was a troll. We're done.
Yeah.
No.
There was a Kaizo block, the only Kaizo blocks in the entire race.
Yeah.
And Here, to set the stage a bit more, you're in a race environment. And it's the last level of the race. You get to the final pipe you're in. You see the end of the level and there's a donut block. You fall and you're about to freak out. And that's what Beast did. He didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. He started jumping. He hit that block and he fell.
Yep.
And it's like there's so much pressure on when it's a race. And like
the final level of the race.
Yeah. Like, it was fun, and I'm sure the crowd loved it. And this is coming from the winners. Let's just preface that, too. Like, we were all pretty much like, oh, my God. Another team was, like, excited to see that we died.
We got lucky. Our win was luck, because Failstream got to that part after the Beast did, and his idea was to try and wait for the platform to be low and then do a crouch jump to clear the gap while not hitting the Kaizos, which was not the intended way, and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So we got really lucky that Failstream didn't catch on to what the true solution was, which was going back up the pipe.
Yeah. So we're sitting there, and Beast gets back to that area, and he's on that rising platform, and X-Water just goes, hey, check the pipe. And Beast is like, okay.
Beast was like lining up. He was, you could see in his head, like, the dots were connecting. Like you could, everything was like calculating. And I'm like, wait, check the pipe.
Yeah. And he goes and checks the pipe and that was how you do it.
And it leads you right to like one of those underworld, just pipe to pipes and brings you right to the end. And that room, I bet if you waited in it would have killed you.
Yeah.
I bet you any money.
I was almost going to tell Beast, no, go back in the pipe you came out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm glad it worked out. And like we won, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But like, even if that would have cost us, if those trolls, like it feels so cheated to have lost that way. And so like, whoever was the winners, if they got there first and then we ended up winning, I would have felt like that was a cheap win because we gained knowledge from something we wouldn't have seen if we were doing a race where it wasn't screen peeking.
Yeah.
And it's knowledge is very important in races like this. And we have the luxury of being able to screen peek. So it helps. But like, that's the problem is a troll like that is so defeating.
Mm-hmm. End of level trolls, especially in the race setting, I guess, are lesson learned, I think. It's like one of those things we'll add to notes when we're making our next relay race. Like, hey, you know what? End of level trolls, you got to not do it.
Yeah.
But all in all, I think like apart from everything, the end of level trolls were still really, really, really funny. And as much as like it's about like we want to win and we don't want to lose, at the end of the day, the thing that matters the most is that we raised money for direct relief and that everybody who was watching had a really fun time.
Right.
And that's what it's Carl's fault. Carl started this whole troll thing.
Yeah, come on, Carl. You're right. It's always like at the end of the day, people are going to remember those trolls in this race more than anything else in it. And they're going to be like, remember that one race? And that's good. That's a good thing to have. And I'm excited and I was glad it had it. But if we didn't have screen peeking, it would be just as good. And so I know I talked to a few people that are actually thinking for, without spoiling too much, for one of the future races, having it so that you can't see the other team's screen.
Yeah.
So
I kind of like it though. It brings back that GoldenEye 64 checking on your buddy vibe, you know?
Well, I mean, that's what this does, right? You get to, when I was a lad, I used to split the video signal for GoldenEye to two different TVs. It would still show all screens on the TV, but we would just cover up one screen.
It was
so terrifying. And because this was like most people's first experience with first person shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was 1997 and like I'm 12 years old, you know, and like,
that's a resource. Splitting the signal on the two different TVs for GoldenEye at 12, that's a resourceful 12-year-old.
I was a pretty interesting kid.
Tinkering from a young age.
Yeah, but it was scary. I will tell you, like playing matches against friends was so terrifying when you didn't know where they were.
Yeah.
And it brought in a different type of competitiveness that is fun. It's worth it. And so I'm excited to see what we do with that.
Yeah. Well, the next relay race will be at GDQ featuring yourself and Pooh and Carl and then Glitchcat and Cliffy. And is Failstream going to be there or who's the last spot?
Oh, man, I'm going to get some shit for this. Way to call me out.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be there, so it's not on me.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't even know right now.
Yeah. And hopefully, do you guys have a commentator for it yet?
I don't think we have one yet.
Okay.
I think we're kind of just figuring things out.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do in these things. We talked about it earlier. There's a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
And it's we'll see how things develop. We don't want to rush into anyone and be like, oh, we're gonna get this guy and then. But yeah, I think it will work out. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be my first time running at GDQ. You know, it's gonna be exciting.
That's like a lot of people's dreams. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for you guys.
Yeah. I wish you could be there, but you're going to be traveling, which is going to be exciting.
Yeah. Well, I won't be traveling just yet, but I figured I'm spending 3.5-ish weeks this summer in Europe. So I can't justify taking an extra week off stream, you know?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so I don't know. I'm excited. And this is my first time running at an event. Like running Mario Makers. Cool and it's fun and it's with a group, but there's always that like coveted like your single stream.
Yes.
And you had your chance to do that this time.
Oh man, it was It was scary. It was exciting. And it ended up going so much better than I could have expected, honestly.
It was amazing. I got to say, for all the opening games for an event and just for a game like Odyssey, like there's a lot that can go wrong. And very, very little went wrong.
Yeah. And the things that did go wrong, I feel like were handled pretty well. Well, so one thing I've always like kind of imagined, I've always imagined my first like solo run, because we did Calithon last year. We've both been in a speeded run event for Mario Maker, but it's a lot different, like you're saying, when you're running solo. So first run of the marathon, starting off the stream, running Odyssey. And I've been practicing with it pretty hard, but I spent like the last 5 days before Calithon in LA kind of on vacation. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't at my stream. I wasn't playing for 7 hours a day. You know, I busted out the Switch and got some practice in on like the living room table every now and then, but that's about it.
Shout outs to Nintendo for the Switch, because that's amazing right
it
there.
It honestly
though.
Really made practicing a lot better. Like the day of, I landed at the hotel and I sat in the lobby for like 2 hours kind of just practicing, and it was actually really useful. So there was a lot of highlights from the Odyssey run. I was really happy that we raised, I think, like 1.6K. I felt like kind of geeked that during my speed run that we hit such a big number.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just kind of like, wow.
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, me and Pooh did commentary for you. Mm-hmm. It was Warp World episode 39, unofficial. Yeah. It was great. It was the Warp team right up on stage opening for Calithon. But I got to say, like, for you to run Odyssey, it's a hit game. It's a huge speedrunning game.
Yeah.
Huge community behind it. And, like, you nailed it. Because we've talked about it before on the podcast. Like, we're like, yeah, you're, like, really the first one to run this game at a marathon.
Yeah, the first to do it at a big public charity event. I think at least. It might. I don't know if it went down at EGLX or not. But other than that, I don't think there's been any other big charity marathons since the game came out.
Yeah.
AGDQ didn't include it because it was past their deadline date, which was so weird still.
Yeah.
I felt like they would have tried to rope someone into it.
It's one of those things because, like, if they try to rope somebody in too early, you wouldn't know. You don't know the game. You don't know if it would flow. Yeah. And then if you were like,
I guess it does. It does make sense. But I think having, like, one of those last-minute changes might have been applicable. But you know what? You also got to respect the fact that they set a plan and they stuck to it.
Yeah. It's always cool to see them follow through on stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think overall, like, that was so much fun watching you run that. It was fun. Pooh ended up spending $100 betting against you on Yoshi.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, what was so cool about the speed run in the marathon is that you're not aiming for a PB. You're not, you know, sitting there dreading every mistake and, you know, going, oh, this run sucks. I gotta reset. You're just there to make the best of what you got and make it entertaining. So like, there's definitely parts of the run where I intentionally took slower strats or just took time to walk around. Like you said, Pooh bet me in the Luncheon Kingdom that there was a Yoshi in a room, and I was like, up it to 100, I'll prove it. And I scanned the room and there was no Yoshi. And you know, I lost 10 seconds, but it was funny.
You raised $100 for charity in that 10 relief. Seconds.
Worth and it for 10 seconds.
I'll tell you, I was with Pooh in my mind, but I've only played the game on launch. I played it once and I haven't picked it up since. Terrible. Yeah. I'm terrible at video games, guys. I mean, not terrible at playing them, but just terrible at like sticking with a game. The fact that I'm still playing Mario Maker is a miracle.
Yeah.
But like,
it's a game of infinite replayability.
Yeah.
At least. Yeah.
But like Odyssey, I'm like, I think there's a Yoshi in there. Nope. I was wrong.
Yeah. And what it was is in either the dark or darker side of the moon, there's a bonus room that has that same layout, exactly the same, but it's designed to be played with Yoshi. And that's where the confusion came from.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I remember playing that as well. And after you said that, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, you stopped and took a photo.
Which you then sold. Cloud Kingdom. While punching Bowser right below the belt during the last punch, with good enough timing, you press down on the button to go screenshot mode, left twice to go to the gold coin, and then bam, you got a nice little shot of Bowser getting hit in the groin, and it's great.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you really had fun with it, and you showed that speedrunning is not always about getting that record. You said it before. You were like, I mean, you would have got close to your PB if you didn't screw around, which is crazy. But
yeah,
it was more about showing people the fun of a game and still doing it fast, obviously, but not just having fun with it and making sure people see that this game's fun and has like fun little things to do.
Yeah, fun and charm. Like, sure, I could have skipped the glory hole, but then how are we going to joke about glory holes during the run, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about busting the nuts.
Oh, man, six nuts. That was one of my favorite parts because there was a joke we cracked where I was like, man, just busted like six nuts in like 5 minutes. And then you or Pooh said something about Mario going quick. I'm like, yeah, he's not a marathon, man.
Right.
And I don't know. I didn't intend to make that joke, but then it just kind of hit me after. I'm like, oh, snap, that was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's always great. These events are about, you know, fun and raising money for charity.
Yeah.
And getting to show off your skills in front of a lot more people than you normally do. So it's a win-win-win for everyone involved. It's just, they're so much fun. And this is definitely a much smaller conference than GDQ.
Oh, yeah. It's very cozy. We're at Bebo headquarters.
Yeah, we're actually recording in their streaming room right now.
Yeah. And so Bebo is this like streaming software that's still in like alpha or beta. I'm not exactly sure, but it's actually pretty cool. I'm definitely going to take a more in-depth dive into it myself.
Yeah, we're not really plugging them. This is not supposed to be a plug or anything.
Yeah, this is where we are right
yeah.
now. So.
But they recently came out with streaming software. They used to have just like a bot that you could use. I used it before they had the streaming software out. Mm-hmm. But now they have a full streaming suite. It's all in one. It's one piece of software instead of like four different pieces of software for streaming, which is nice. I think that's a good approach. It might not have all the features you're used to, but you know, check it out if you want.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely really grateful to them for letting us use the space.
Yeah, because I feel like up until 3 weeks ago, this may not have happened mm-hmm. this year.
Yeah, Calithon definitely was like looking like it might not have been a possibility. So I am really glad that this happened because, you know, sometimes before heading out, I'm like, oh, I don't want to get on a plane. I don't want to take time off streaming. Taking time off streaming is stressful.
Oh,
it
man.
Is. I haven't looked at my sub count since I left a week ago and I'm dreading when I get home and open it, you know?
Yeah, you might be surprised at what you see at the end, but
yeah.
People don't really realize like it. You take a week off and or 2 weeks, and you're just you get like 50% less people for a while until yeah. they start coming back in.
Yeah, you got to rebuild the consistency, re-get into people's routine. Yeah, no, it's the life of a streamer. You're kind of always trying to be at least present, right?
Yeah, if you're not getting notifications from a streamer, you're going to forget about them.
Yeah.
Unless they're your favorite streamer.
But I was really like, I don't know what the correct word to use is. I'm going to say humbled that like so many people from my community like supported the run, were watching, sent me nice messages and all that stuff. My brother even restreamed Calithon on his stream and I was watching his VOD this morning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he was like, that's my brother running. I was like, oh, you goon.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah, so I don't know. Calithon's really fun. Like I said, it's so much smaller than GDQ. And
yeah.
If you're interested, you know, check it out next year. Fourth year.
The thing with these kind of events is everybody wants to go to the GDQs, but GDQ started out just like this.
Yeah.
In fact, even smaller than this in a basement.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we don't give some love to the other speedrun marathons, you know, then how are they gonna get a chance to grow?
Yeah, I mean, and everyone's always wanting to go to GDQs, and that's fine. Everyone always goes to the big dog, but like, you can't become a big dog if people don't go to a small dog first.
Yeah,
you got to feed that small dog.
He's hungry.
Yeah,
he needs a chow down.
Speaking of chowing down, so I don't think this is a stretch by any means, but my Yo-Noid run, I am terrified.
Yeah,
it's so RNG heavy.
It is really RNG heavy. Like, what's the biggest like fear with this RNG? Because it loses you time, but does it kill the run?
It will. I mean, yeah, you would reset in the actual world, but like for a marathon, I have 30 minutes, which is more than enough time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just there are pizza games that could take 3 minutes if I get really bad RNG. And
yeah,
that's,
those pizza games can be really long.
When the platforming takes 45 seconds and the pizza's 3 minutes, it's not really the most crowd-pleasing run.
Yeah, yeah, and it's all on a dice roll for you.
Yeah, it's completely pretty much random. And hopefully, you know, the commentary I have and the annoyed facts that I can bring up will help out with this run. And hopefully I'll get good RNG, good enough at least. I'm not looking for anything like a 20-minute run, 22-minute run. 24 minutes I'd be happy on. But it's just there's one platforming. There's really two platform sections that I'm kind of worried about. And the first one's in the first level.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's like halfway through the first level, there's a jump. If I miss that jump, I got to play the level again. But or I can wait. I can wait 3 seconds and not miss the jump. But that doesn't seem fun. Yeah, so I'm going for the jump.
You got to go for the jump. You can't not go for the jump. Because when you die, what I learned today on Thursday at least is when you screw up, you just got to shrug it off, make a joke, pull it and do your best to like pull your bootstraps back up.
Yep.
I found that a lot of like what running in a marathon setting was just in your head thinking like, I got this. This is easy.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it hundreds of times before now. And it's just, you know, showing it in front of different people.
Mm-hmm. I almost in my head, like try to give myself a cocky persona, like to the point where I'm like, I'm the best at this. I'm not going to lose. And I had a couple of kerfuffles, but yeah, we recovered them.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. You know, like you said earlier, I won't have you and Pooh there. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of people
but
here.
But you're gonna have the Beast will be there.
Yep, I have the Beast and Johnny Christmas.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine. He's actually gonna be here for a different conference, but he's like, yeah, I'll commentate and do that. So that's gonna be cool. So it will be fun. I have people there to support me, and I think it will be good.
Yeah, I think. It's what? It's at 8, you said?
It's 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
Yeah, local time.
Which, so 11 when I'm back home. So I'll definitely be able to sneak a little dono in there while you're running. So I'll be home by then.
Yeah. The funny thing is like when the schedule for this was released, I was in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
And so the time had me for 3 a.m. local time.
Oh.
And Jeff sent me a DM. He's like, is that time okay? And I'm not going to say no. You know? Uh-huh. So I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And I didn't realize it changed to local time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, 3 a.m. Ah, I get it. It's the Noid. And then I get home and I'm like, oh, it's 10 a.m. I'm like, oh, that's better. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, that means it's 8 a.m. That's worse. I feel like that's worse than 3 a.m.
Yeah, I would.
I'm not saying anything,
I would
Jeff.
Much rather be running at the end of the night than the start of the day, you know?
Yeah, 8 a.m. is brutal for me, but I'll just wake up at 5 and head on over.
Yeah, probably going to do a couple practice runs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get used to their setup. I don't know if I play on CRT. I don't play on CRT at home.
What do you play on at home?
I have a Samsung monitor.
Oh.
So I have it hooked up to the FrameMeister. And
what's the delay on that monitor?
It's like 1 millisecond.
Okay, yeah. I play at home on a same thing, FrameMeister to a 1ms monitor.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I guess CRT's 0ms, but
yeah,
you know
I can
what?
Adapt.
Fight me when I say it, but 1 millisecond... not a big difference.
Yeah, especially for this game.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's Kellython right now, I guess.
Yeah. We still got another couple of days left in it. But recording a podcast, you got to do it before the podcast comes out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. next week we'll probably talk to Grand Pooh Bear about his All Forts race.
Yeah, we didn't even bring that up. Yeah, he did All Forts with Supersonic.
He killed it.
Dude, yeah, he did really well for a marathon run.
Did he die at all?
No.
I didn't think he did.
No, he didn't. And I didn't realize how intense this was, but there's in the fort in Sand, or was it in Sand or is it in the Water Kingdom?
I don't...
Regardless of where it is, Pooh can fill us in next week, but there's... one fort that has these sets of doors and you go in one and you can actually...
World 3,
yeah. So you can actually re-enter the door on the first frame of after you get through the door, and it's a trick that...
Saves 15 seconds.
I think they were saying no one pulled off in a marathon before.
No one. And both runners
got it first try. No, like they made it look effortless.
Yeah.
I was sitting there like, what's the big deal? They both did it and everyone's losing their minds.
Yeah, chat was... I think chat actually was like, why are people cheering? Which it's so silly.
Yeah, it's a good thing we had enough people, enough experts there to explain what was going on. Ryu was on the couch. Pooh and Supersonic were explaining stuff as they were going through. But yeah, what's really fun about watching SMB 3 runs is just like some people do take just slightly different routes that, you know, One guy skips a level in World 2. One guy skips a level in World 5. So you can't really tell who's ahead or who's behind at some points. But I think Supersonic got a couple of like rough patches where he died once or twice that set him a little bit behind.
Yeah, it always sucks to die in a race like that.
Yeah.
Especially where it is so close. I think me and you are thinking about picking up a Super Mario Brothers 3 category though.
Yes, yes. Hottest category of 2019.
Yeah.
One fort,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you just got to get to that first fort, beat it, and whoever wins.
Yeah, it's really just a showdown of who can smash the fort the fastest.
I mean, let's be honest. If I can beat you in 3 levels faster than you can beat me in 3 levels, then I could probably beat you faster in 30 levels too.
Yeah, just extrapolate the data. Why waste all that time beating all the forts?
Are we not speedrunners?
It's just dumb.
Are we not speedrunners?
Exactly. Like, oh, I want to spend 50 minutes playing the game. Nah,
3 minutes.
Makes no sense, poo.
3 minutes or less.
I think that's about all we have to cover for Calithon.
Episode 39, real 39,
in the books. Yeah. All right. Well, as every week, guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you go hit that 5 stars on iTunes, on Google Play, on whatever app you listen on.
Yeah. Throw us a comment if you want. As always, you can email podcast@warp.world for any viewer questions.
Yeah.
And you can just find us over at podcast.warp.world.
Yeah, and you already know that because you're listening to it.
Yeah, if you're finding this randomly, then hey, how's it going?
Hey, sub girl, as our good friend would say.
Yeah, rest in peace. Oh, wait, he's alive.
Yay. Oh, good. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I forgot.
Right, bye. If he was, he would be here.
Right, oh, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to bring up, before we do head off, we're in a room right now that's covered in two-way mirrors. Is it one-way mirrors, two-way mirrors?
One way.
The mirrors where you can see them, but they can't see you. They see a mirror. Yeah. And like people are walking around outside this room we're recording in, just like kind of looking at themselves in the mirror. And it's like, oh, you're looking at us, but you're not. It's weird, man. It's weird. I like it though.
I want it.
I want it too. But no, that's everything. All right. We're signing off now, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Farewell.